Sammy J on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Well, the infamous bonk ban was back in the news this week off the back of revelations out of Canberra, re-relationships in the office. But what if such a ban were extended to workplaces outside the Canberra bubble? Jenna Price is a columnist for The Age who thinks this might just be something we should consider. Good morning, Jenna. Thank you for your time.
No worries. I think it's a great idea.
Well, Jenna, I mean, Malcolm Turnbull introduced the bonk ban and what, it was only 9 months later or so he was no longer the Prime Minister. So it didn't work out great for him, did it?
No, but then I'm not anyone's boss. This is just, I'm acting as an outside consultant and I'm giving people this really good idea. Companies are going to save a lot of money if we have a universal bonk ban, but much more than that, they're going to save a lot of grief and heartbreak. It's ideal.
Well, Jenna, it is, of course, you know, on one level, it's a light-hearted conversation topic about workplace office romances, and on the other hand, it's a very, very serious discussion to have. Take me through how you see this working in practice.
Well, so first of all, our problem is that boards, and in fact in management in general, do not understand what work-life balance means. And that's true everywhere. It's not just true in politics. It's not just true in media. It's also true in every other organisation. So once you have an actual policy which says you need to get out of the office more, you're going to immediately make it possible for people to make human connections outside the office. And once you do that, you take away all that stress of two people who are often in different, very different power positions within the organisation. Mm-hmm. When they have their relationship, there's a huge amount of stress in the office, not just on them because they think they can keep it secret. Let me tell you, there is no secret ever kept in Australia or anywhere else, I'd argue. But then they're also saving their colleagues from having to side with one person or the other or mistrusting both, which is often what happens. And once you do that, you have a much happier workplace. So, I think companies have a huge responsibility when it comes to recognising that we just cannot be tethered to our desks 100 hours a week. That's really bad for morale.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It feels like there's sort of, I guess, two strands to this. So work-life balance is one thing, which I'm sure 99.9% of listeners would agree that this is something we need to keep on working on and getting better at. On the other hand, this question of office romances in general, are you focused on office romances at large, or are you really specifically talking about where there's a power imbalance in the office?
So the thing is, a lot of us meet our partners at work. I mean, I met mine on first day of university, so we were both, you know, little tiny first years, but most people meet them in the office. And I think if you're at about the same level, it's perfectly fine. That's not what happens, though. I would argue that there's a huge power imbalance in most of these office relationships. And that is partly because the bloke, who's often more senior because we've still got gender inequality in this country, is looking for that mixture of admiration and respect that you more properly earn over the course of a lifetime. But someone's admiring and respecting this person because they've done this fantastic job at work. So instead of... So, yes, that's where we get to the power imbalance, and mm-hmm. that's very problematic. You know, the woman's often exploited. She feels like she has to defend this person because it's the boss. I mean, it's nuts. And it's no good for anybody. It's not good for them. It's not good for colleagues. And as it turns out, it's not good for stakeholders either, stakeholders and shareholders.
So I don't really disagree with anything you've just said, Jenna. I guess my concern is how it would be put into practice because, as you've just said, there's no beef here with people who are in equal power relationships in the office meeting people and as colleagues and forming relationships. If it's a boss and a secretary, for example, that's a clear old school 1970s style example of a power imbalance. Mm. But there's so many more nuanced positions.
I wish it was 1970s instead of 2020s, but okay, rightio.
How are we to determine power imbalances when it's a nuanced thing and when these things are not necessarily even structurally able to be determined?
Well, fortunately, I'm not in management, and that'll be management's responsibility, but one of the best things they could do is to put financial penalties in contracts straight away. That should be happened before this person even sets foot in their new job. And once you have that in place, no one likes to lose money. I mean, that's a clear way of putting someone off that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously, if you've got someone on a level A in one department and a level B in another department, that's not a big deal. I mean, there's no... It's the conflict of interest that's the problem. And you just cannot have that in these organisations and have the massive disruption to everyone afterwards. And I think if you think about what's happened in Tudge's office and in Porter's office, that just must be hell working there right now.
Jenna Price, we are swiftly out of time. I will keep the chat going, of course, with listeners. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Jenna Price there, columnist for The Age, who has proposed the idea of a more universal bonk ban for all workplaces, particularly to deal with power imbalances. What do you reckon? Would it work in practice? Would it just send relationships underground? Let me know. 1300 222 774.